When I was a boy, I was promised that we'd be living on Mars, on the moon, or under the sea. Poverty would be a thing of the past. War would no longer exist, and we'd all be living happily ever after. What made me cry was when I realized that the sun would one day die, and everything that we know would cease to exist. What we tell our children now is that a pathogen will wipe out humanity, a seismic disaster will destroy all we know, or that our parents will turn into zombies and eat them. My name's Graham Hayward. I'm the general manager for Fellesverkstedet in Oslo, an open access production factory. This is Jens Divik, who is the head of research and design and freelance product designer and Fab Lab Nomad. This is Håkon Carlsen Jr., who is the founder, one of the initiators of the Fab Lab movement, and the general manager of Fab Lab Lingen. What we want to, we're here today because we're makers. We like to make things. We like to help other people make things, and we like to help people who want to help other people make things. There's an awful lot of things that we're interested in that we want to talk about today. We want to talk about tools, not the porn of tools, not, but how we use tools to make things, what we can do with tools, how digital tools meet analog tools, how our past meets our future and combines to make our present. We really wanted to talk about analysis and statistics, about measuring, about how maker spaces, production spaces, how we can look at what we do and how we can make them better, how we can analyze what we're doing and try and create better facilities, better management, better tools in order to build the future that we're all looking for. I really wanted to talk about financing and investment, about what it is we're doing, not just about making, but what the role of making and production has in our societies, about how we can look at this towards GDP growth, about how we can look about this about building the communities that we have now, about how we can design our futures based around the economic benefits of production. But in the space of the last few weeks, we've been doing an awful lot of consulting for firms and companies in Norway, regional and national governmental bodies. We've been talking a lot to people from places like New Zealand and Australia, people in the States, about building makerspaces and about how we, again, how we analyze these makerspaces. But there's been an awful lot of discussions, and what we've realized is we're actually quite concerned. So what we decided we really wanted to talk today was about people.
So when it comes to people and the human values in making, there's actually no one better to talk about it than Håkon Carlsen Jr. So Håkon, how did the sheep farmer from the north, a peace negotiator, an art historian, a musician, and a teacher end up collaborating with the whole world and MIT to build the first Fab Lab in Europe 10 years before we here in Oslo realized that it maybe is interesting to make these spaces for collaborating and sharing?
The life is exciting every day. Every morning, it's so nice to come to the workshop and see how thing is developed. So I'm born on a farm with approximately 100 sheep and 15 horses. So they was my friends when I grew up. But I want to go out in the world and see what's going on. So in the garage in on the farm, it was a workshop at least the last 50 years. So in the middle of the 90s, then the cow disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, came to Norway, and we couldn't transport animals from southern part of Norway to the northern part of Norway. So they were so afraid for the disease, so they said that, how can we breed in the northern part of Norway without new blood? So then we start to produce sperms from reindeer, animal, like also muskox, but that was in Canada. And it was an enormous success the first year. I think we was better than the app there. 94% of all the sheep got lamb. And they really tried to find out why is it possible to do that? How is it possible? So it took 2 years before they say that, it's not the laboratory, it's the farmers. They could see when the sheep was in heat. So we said, okay, then we have to find a device to tell the farmer when the sheep was in heat. So then we developed a sheep phone. So all the sheep on our farm and the neighbor's farm, they got a sheep phone. So this is the first sheep phone developed in 1997. But the Alps in Lingen is extremely alpine. So it was a problem to get all the signals down from the mountains. So, and on that time, in 1999, MIT in Boston said that, oh, this is interesting, we want to cooperate with you. So they really come to Lingen, and we start to cooperate to carry the signals down from the mountains on long-range waves. We don't use them, the GSM anymore. So it was a fantastic cooperation with MIT the next 2 years. So when this project period was over, they want to establish a field lab on our farm. So then we built a house, and the first fab lab in the world was in this room. It was by a decision in October 18th in 2002. So we got researchers and young people, all sorts of people from all over the world. And we got all the machines we need for everything, like laser cutters. But we fight a lot how to tell people what is a fab lab. So it was three labs. It was one in Pune in India, and the leader was Kolbag, one in inner city Boston. It was Melvin King, and it's this in Norway. But what we could see, it took us at least 5 years to find the definition of what is a fab lab. And what we can see in this picture and many other pictures and the result, this is the first thinner client, Internet Zero. And first time it was start was in this room, you can see. And now Cisco produced this. And we have some companies who produce this. So what we could see that all the tools and everything, we bought a lot of 3D printers and stuff, but that was only tools. The house is a facility and so on. The most important thing, or the main important thing, was the people. How could we find the right people to come to our place, to our big kitchen? When I built this house, I made the drawings, and I got the inspiration from the kitchen at home. Everything happened in the kitchen. My father, he fixed all the outboard motors and stuff, and my mother, she baked cakes, and on every Sunday, a lot of neighbors come to the kitchen. So this is a house absolutely without walls. It's only one door into the house, and that's it. You have to have some sort of relationship with other people. So the definition of a fab lab is a global network of people who want to cooperate and share knowledge. And that's absolutely the main thing. What we can see that to find different people like priests or we have just now also a drug user, and we have some young people, we have some kids, all down to the kindergarten. And we can see when we get all this crossover, when you get some people ask the right questions, then something happens. Can we do that or can we not do that? So what we told Professor Neil Gerstenfeld that, oh, this is a place, and what we can use as a slogan is how to make almost anything. But I think it's, we can say that how to make anything. So we try to do that also technically to make things, devices and things like that. But now we also try to find the entrepreneurship, how to make business. How is it possible to make business? And we have failed all the way from the beginning. I will say that we was super good in invention to make things, but to make business, hopeless. And we tried to get Sloan School of Economics, Bluefin in New York, Rockefeller Foundation. So many people have tried to make business out of this, but there are some connection between innovator and entrepreneur. And we don't know how we can solve that. So if some of you know something about that and can try to, I think it will be a global success. From our first three fab labs, it's now more than 300 all around the world. So of course we have done something right, but it's also an honor to travel around and tell about the most important thing, the network of people who want to cooperate and share knowledge, and to open to share knowledge. So that's absolutely the main focus for me, the human in the whole system.
Thank you, Jörgen. It's time to zoom out. So, this is Norway. We looked at what spaces do we have. If you look at universities and schools that are providing an open access facility for production, we have two of them. And then we looked at membership-based places, makerspaces, hackerspaces, where you become a member and gain access to collaborate and make stuff. And then if we add open access production facilities, we have even more. So there's plenty of tools, and we really believe that we don't need to chase the tools. What we really need to focus on is when we have all these spaces, all these beautiful different types of spaces, different personalities, how do we make these spaces work?
I think one of the key things we struggle with is top-down initiatives versus bottom-up initiatives, how grassroots, what we do as people, what we decide to do, how this then meets what governments and policymakers decide to do. I mean, in Norway, we've seen this recently. There's been a lot of press about it in terms of these cultural houses, massive amounts, millions and millions and millions of kroners that have been sunk into cultural centers. There have been policymakers deciding that, okay, here we're going to have cultural activity. And then over the summer, we saw loads and loads of press about this, that they're gathering dust. It's not real cultural activity. It's just what the policymakers are deciding should be cultural activity. And we've got grassroots initiatives at the bottom, which is many of the people that are sitting in here in this room, people who decide to just get off their bum and make a difference. They decide they want to make a maker space, a production factory, whatever it might be. But they're struggling at the same time as well, because okay, they're full of ideas, full of motivation, full of innovation. But then, you know, most of these places are run on, you know, they run for free. People aren't getting paid to do this work. So one of the key things that we need to work on in Norway that we're struggling with right now is how these grassroots initiatives are going to meet what the policymakers are saying. How does top-down initiatives meet bottom-up initiatives? And I think this is one of the central challenges that we'll be facing definitely this year with the budget that's coming out right now, and in 2015 and 2016. How do we make effective use of innovation, ideas, and our want to make things? And how is this then going to meet what our government wants to do at the same time? If we manage to make these two things work as a central element, then I think there's a huge amount of potential. Well, I don't think it's working right now.
And when we have these successful spaces, and you know they are rooted in the community and so on, then what is really the potential here is the global networks, the collaborations between the spaces as well. And these networks of fab labs, hackerspaces, makerspaces, they are actually nodes for people. It's about connecting people to people. And we really need to take care of these people who are the connectors, because if one node disappears in the network, then there's a lot of people that are no longer connected. So in a way, building these successful spaces for people to collaborate and share knowledge is a way to connect local resources, local people, to global intelligence, right? To work together as a collective intelligence. And we see this all around the world, that people are struggling just to keep their head above water, to secure that they have funding for the space for the next week, or for the next month. And then they, like, when we're successful, then we reach out, then we collaborate. But what you really need to collaborate is making a successful space. And you know, there's no shame in crying out for help. And let's talk together. And what we really love is when people come into these spaces, it's a flat floor, you know. Whatever title or hierarchy you're coming from, we're all building, making things together. And what is happening here, actually, is like when people make and share together, making something becomes almost like a process of a different mindset. So you realize that if you can make anything you want, then you can make the ingredients of your own life, and you can do that on your own terms. So there's a sort of wider-reaching potential than just, you know, a bunch of people making things and it's great. It's about making our attitudes to life and society and how we collaborate together.
Mike touched a little bit on this. I mean, we're talking about how we make our futures, about what the possibilities that we have in front of us. And obviously, right now, we're moving from meters and centimeters and micrometers and nanometers. Now we're looking more towards the chemical world and what we can do with chemistry, with biology, and what we can create with the base substances.
We're you know, enchanted by squirting plastic. In the future, we'll be enchanted by these crazy biofabricating machines. Mm. It's not about machines. We've been making stuff for millenniums, you know, making tools, using tools. What makes us meet here in the room and what we're excited about is the context, our attitude to making, and how we share knowledge and collaborate together. And that's how we will make an even better Norway together in the future. And we put a yeast molecule up here, actually, to represent the future of biofabrication. And speaking of yeast...
Yeah. So now we do some blatant plugging. So we're going to be running some workshops tomorrow. We're going to be talking a lot about production, but it's about how people meet. This is a space we set up last night, which we're running for another event. What we're going to be doing later on today is moving all of the machinery and production into the maker's space. And tomorrow will be, so when everyone comes tomorrow, there'll be a fantastic maker space available. We're running two projects, one with a local brewery, that's why it's yeast, where you can come and hack a bar. So we're going to be solving a problem. There's a real life problem, how a brewery wants to make a mobile bar so they can serve beer to galleries and all sorts of different events. And then we'll also be running another workshop that's called, what's it called?
Digital Loves Analog.
Yeah.
So we'll go from analog design to digital manufacturing to analog manufacturing. So it will be a nice jam. So please come and jam with us. Little less talking, a little more making, no?
That's the one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.